Today's title is a Christmas classic. Would you guys pray with me? Lord, I come before you humbly this morning, and we're here to give you praise and honor and glory in this place. Lord, I pray that you would open my mouth and your praise would flow forth from my lips this morning, God. I'm here to glorify you, and I pray that as we open and examine the scriptures, that you would give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. So to set the stage this morning, would you guys turn with me to Galatians? It's a very popular Christmas book. Galatians, and I'll look at chapter 5. And I want to pick up in verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19. And it says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And boy, we just see a lot of that in the world right now. It is so rampant. But he continues on in verse 22, but he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," we have it on the wall right there, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Now, you're probably thinking, you know, how does the fruits of the Spirit a Christmas message? Just stick with me. Because you know what Jesus said? He said, "You will be known by your fruit," right? For good or for bad. And we see in the world today all of these evil fruits, and we don't see enough of these good fruits: love, joy, peace, forbearance. Now, I'm kind of a big Marvel fan. In case you guys didn't know this, I really enjoy Marvel. I mean, how many times did we see Endgame in theaters? Like 3-4 times. I just enjoy it. But I want to kind of use Marvel to set the table. I'm not preaching Marvel, don't worry. But I like to see sometimes in media, we see all these mirrors and these picture types of what we see going on in the world today. Mom, can you pull up that picture for me? Some of you guys may have heard that Marvel had a TV show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And S.H.I.E.L.D. is this organization in Marvel that is, and I pulled it right from their website, it's an espionage and security organization that defends Earth and its people groups from those that pose advanced threats, technological, listen to this, or even supernatural and extraterrestrial. Isn't that kind of interesting? That's kind of their whole purpose. And so this TV show is essentially following the good guys who stand in the gap, and a lot of the characters that you follow in the TV show are the ordinary folks. They're not the Spider-Man, the Hulk, right? All the people with the superpowers. It's just the regular people. And their whole purpose is to fight these guys called Hydra. And just bear with me, but Hydra were these people that infiltrated the government and were sowing discord and sowing discontent, and S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed to ferret out these agents of Hydra. So these people in Hydra are pretending to be good guys, but they're really bad guys. And so you can take down the photo, but their whole mission was essentially trying to figure out who the good guys were and who the bad guys were. And the only way you could know is, like Jesus said, by their fruit. So Hydra were sowing these seeds. They were these wolves in sheep's clothing, if you will. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, if I'm an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., or in this case, an agent of the kingdom of God, how can I go and ferret out, you know, Hydra in our world? Where all of this discontent's coming from? Where all the sexual immorality is coming from? And, you know, oftentimes we ask ourselves, God, what's my mission today? How can I go out there and fight the devil and beat up the things, or go and behead the statue of Bahamut in the Iowa caucus? I don't know if you guys saw that. How can I go out and do that today, right? But in this Christmas time, we often have this need to share the gospel already, but we tend not to add a Christmas tinge to it. And so this morning, I want to look at what Matthew 7 says. Jesus, I mentioned it earlier, Matthew 7. How can we be agents of the kingdom in this Christmas time where the whole world is searching for hope, the whole world is searching for peace? They are turning towards it without realizing it. Let's listen to what Matthew 7 says. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from the thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And so the difference between the wolves and the agents of the kingdom is simply by the fruit. Right? The world, we're seeing the fruits of evil, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. And if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, then we too should bear good fruit, right? As agents of the kingdom, our main purpose maybe should be to bear that fruit. Yes, we need to stand in the gap. Yes, we need to fight. But our main purpose, like Jesus said, we will be known by our fruit. And what does this have to do with, like I said, a Christmas classic? Well, what were those first three fruits of the spirits? Love, joy, and peace were the very first three fruits of the Spirit mentioned. And when you think about Christmas, those three words are synonymous with it. Love, joy, and peace. I mean, what did those angels declare to the shepherds the night Jesus was born? They brought tidings of great joy, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The love of our God has come to us. And our world is so broken and torn down right now. It needs this message of love, joy, and peace. Our number one priority as agents of the kingdom right now in this Christmas season, as people are hungry, while people are hungry, let's let them see the fruit of the Spirit that they can take in. So I don't have time to tackle all the fruits of the Spirit, but I do hope to tackle these three: love, joy, and peace. You see, the world is starving right now for these things. It's starving for it. And 2,000 years ago, Christ, whom Paul so beautifully described as our hope, our blessed hope, he was born. And we say it all the time, but it's so true, right? We even have a song called it, Hope Was Born on That Day. And that's what the angels declared in Luke 2, good tidings of great joy. Joy to the world, a Savior is born, our Lord, the Messiah, the Word made flesh, our hope has come. Amen? Amen. What's interesting, though, do you guys know how many times hope is mentioned in the Bible? A lot. 145 times you'll find the word hope being used. What about faith? Another big word. 257 times in the Bible. But get this, peace is mentioned 338 times. More times than hope and faith. Joy, or joy, rejoice, joyful, you combine those three together, it's 344 times in the Bible. And love, anybody have any guesses on how many times you'll find the word love in the Bible? 503 times. Love, joy, and peace, over 1,000 times added up, mentioned in the Bible. Over 1,000. Do you think it's important? Whew. And it's a beautiful path too, right? Love gives birth to joy, which gives birth to peace. And peace then gives birth to hope, and so on, right? We see this fruit giving birth to fruit, giving birth to fruit. And Christ's coming started it all. Christ's coming is the very epitome of love himself, right? God is love. So love himself came. You know the passage. Let's turn there. John 3:16. Probably can quote it from memory, but I want to do 17 as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that right there, friends, is the secret sauce. The first and most important piece of any Christmas message that we tell anybody is that love came. The love of the Father came not to condemn you, but to save you. And not just that, to bring you into his family, right? We're all broken people. We're all sinners. We're all lost without a Savior. But God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die in my place, in your place, in your neighbor's place. See, the world's been given this false sense of hope, this false sense of self-love, just love yourself, right? You can find peace in that. But the truth is, love himself came to us. And I know we're in John, but I want to jump down to 1 John real quick. 1 John, and I want to look at chapter 3, We're going to pull up a couple of verses in here, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know is that it did not know him. When you know Christ, you know love. When you know Christ, you know love. Fast forward on down to verse 16. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Listen to this. "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Oftentimes we get caught up in, I need to fight for the gospel. I need to advance the kingdom. But the first and most important piece of any Christmas message is that God so loved us that he sent his son to die in our place so that not only we might live, but be called his children. Amen? I'll say it again. The first and most important message of Christmas is the love of the Father. God loves you. God loves you. And it's that love of the Father that brought those tidings of great joy we read in Luke 2, right? Tidings of great joy, for the Savior is born. Christmas song, go tell it on the mountaintops, right? That Jesus Christ is born. We should be declaring that love of the Father. And yet, sometimes this message of joy that comes from love can be one of the hardest messages people can hear. For some people, Christmas is one of the hardest times of the year, right? Maybe it's the first Christmas without a loved one. Maybe it's that first Christmas you didn't hang that stocking up on the fireplace or that empty placemat at the Christmas table. Maybe for some, Christmas is a message of a rough upbringing because they grew up in an abusive home. Or what about those who are alone? Right, everybody else is celebrating with their family and they're sitting home alone in their apartment. How can they hear this message of joy? But that message of joy comes from the message of love. Because even when the world around us may crumble, right, all around us is wrong, we can know that God's everlasting love is here, and that love is what brings joy, because joy is different from happiness. Joy is different from happiness. Do you guys know how many times the word happy or happiness is mentioned in the Bible? 10. Joy, 344 times. They are very different things. Happy 10 times, joy 344. You see, joy is not an emotion. Pixar might try to tell us joy is an emotion, but it's not. Happiness is an emotion. Anger is an emotion, sadness. Those are all emotional responses. That's our body's just natural flesh just kicking in. Something bad happened to me, therefore I'm sad, therefore I'm angry. It's just an emotional response. But joy cuts through all of our emotions. And it's a constant piece of our spiritual walk of the Father. See, we know that even though he may slay me, I will still praise him. Like it says in Job. Right? I can have joy. I've got the joy. Doubt it. Right? I've got the joy down in my heart because of the love of the Father has paid for my eternal salvation. So even though I might be sad, even though I might be angry, I can still walk in the love and the joy of the Father. And it's all because we can rest in that joy of knowing that love has come. And that's the second piece of any Christmas message, is that love has come, and with love, we have joy through it all. So good, right? The joy of the Lord of our strength. We're in John today. Let's jump back to John chapter 15. Listen to this. I got to jump there too. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. I'm going to let Jesus do the talking here about love and joy and how they're so intertwined. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy," that's Christ's joy, "may be complete in you, and that your joy may be complete." That's the answer right there. We follow his commands, and his joy is in us. It's not my joy, it's his joy. Goes on, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. So good, right? When we walk in love, we fulfill Christ's command, and in doing so, we also spread joy. But it's not my joy. It's not your joy. It's the joy of Christ made complete in us. And it's the love of Christ that gives birth and full completion to joy. So let us be joyful, full of joy. Not necessarily happiness per se, but full of Christ's joy. Right? I think of when my grandparents passed on. Right? I can be sad in that moment, but I'm joyful because I know they're rejoicing in heaven. Right? So the joy of the Lord cuts through all of this. I don't necessarily have to be happy because that's not what Jesus promised. Jesus promised his joy that is constant and is not dependent on anything around you. It's his joy. And finally, in closing, that brings us to peace. And that's the third portion of the Christmas message, love, joy, and peace. You see, love has come with Christ, and with him, he's brought us true joy, a perfect and complete joy. And with that joy, we can walk in peace. Joy gives birth to peace. And rather than me going on, I'll just let Paul do the talking. He answered this for us already in Philippians. I know we're jumping around here, but if you guys have sat with me before, you know I like to jump around. So Philippians chapter 4, Paul gives us the answer. Starting in verse 4, listen to this. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." Again, there's that emotional response. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And listen, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." Love gives birth to joy, which brings peace. I'll say it again. Love gives birth to joy, which brings peace. And that peace goes beyond any understanding. I cannot fathom the peace that the Lord has because my mind cannot understand it because it's from him. But that peace lets me know that even though the world around me may crumble, I can still have peace in God because Emmanuel is here. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, listen, shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In his great love, Christ, the Prince of Peace, came. That's the message of Christmas, that love, joy, and peace are here. So let me close again. For those of you keeping track, this is my second closing. You see, when we spread the message of Christmas, a message full of love, joy, and peace, you spread the message of hope to the hopeless, right? You counteract the false fruit that the world is sowing by sowing the fruit of love, joy, and peace, and you bring true hope. The writer of Hebrews described hope as an anchor, right? He said, "We have this great hope as an anchor for the soul," and I've shared this analogy with you before. If we think of ourselves in this analogy of hope being an anchor, then you and I, we're like a boat. And the world that we live in, our lives that we walk through, are like the water that we're floating on. And when the winds come and the rains come, we get tossed, we get turned, we get thrown about because there's nothing in the waves, there's nothing in the water that I can grasp onto, right? If you guys have ever been on a boat, can't hold on to the water because there's nothing in there we can fasten our boat to. But an anchor, hope, passes through the natural, cuts through it, and grabs onto that which is eternal, Christ, the solid rock. That's what we can hold on to. It passes through all the troubles, all the tribulations, and holds on to the fact that Christ is our solid rock. And that's what love, joy, and peace brings us, is that hope, that anchor that allows me to hold fast through any storm, through any trial, through any tribulation, because love himself has come. You see, that, friends, is what our message of Christmas brings to the world. Love, joy, and peace bring hope to the hopeless, life to the lifeless, friends to the friendless. So in closing, my third closing, Pastor Mark always said you need three good closings in any message. So this is my third closing. In closing, if we are those agents of the kingdom, right, or agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going out, we're tasked with what Loki in those Marvel movies said. Loki said he was burdened with glorious purpose, right? If we're tasked with a glorious purpose to bring the fruit of love, joy, and peace to those around us, it's a heavy ask. That's a heavy ask, especially when we ourselves aren't perfect. You can ask my wife. I am not perfect. So how can I, this imperfect messenger, bring this message of joy, love, and peace? What if I mess up? What if I myself am feeling depressed? What if I myself am feeling anxious? What if I'm feeling sad? What if I'm angry? And what if, you know, God sends someone into my path tomorrow that I'm supposed to share Christ's love with? What if I mess that up? Can I mess up their eternal walk? Can I mess up God's plan in their life? You see, God is bigger than your mistakes. What an awesome God we serve. You don't have to turn there, but I want you to consider what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. He, God, does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hands. You cannot mess up so bad that it messes up God's plans. All you got to do is walk. God will take care of the mess because he's stronger than any mistake you could make. Amen? Amen. So go out there, myself included, and bear the fruit of the risen Savior. The irony is not lost on me that Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection, and the first fruit of the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, and peace. Let's bear the fruit of our Savior. And it all started in a manger some 2,000 years ago. The light of the world came, pierced through the darkness, and with him brought true love, true joy, and true peace. And if you don't know the Savior and you don't know how to walk in love and joy, I'd love to introduce you to Jesus. He's a good guy. I can't even begin to describe it, how much he loves you. So if you don't know him, I'd love to introduce you to him. Now is the best time in the world to meet him. May we too also be agents of the kingdom, spreading love, joy, and peace. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you that you saw through all of eternity. Lord, that you knew all the way back when Adam and Eve messed up, that you knew you would be sending your son in our place. Oh God, I can't even describe how thankful I am that you saw that me in my wretched state as a sinner, that you loved me enough to send your son to die in my place that I might live. So God, I thank you for that love of the Father that brings me joy, that allows us to stand in peace. And I pray, Lord, that you would empower us to be bold and to spread the Christmas message of love, joy, and peace, Lord. A message of hope to the hopeless. I pray that your light would shine, not just in this building, not just in this town, but in this state and in this country and in this whole world. Lord, I pray that you would soften the hearts of the lost, that they could feel your love, that they could feel your peace, Lord. Lord, come. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.